If you will, look with me in your Bibles to Judges chapter 13, and we conclude in this message the manifestation of our Lord in a pre-incarnate state to Manoah and his wife. And I'll begin reading in verse 15, read down to verse 23. I want to speak with you on the acceptable sacrifice. There is that acceptable sacrifice unto God whereby He can receive sinners into His presence, and also by which they are comforted when He's pleased to reveal that sacrifice to them. Judges 13, verse 15, "And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol." We see here this manifestation. And again, every time we read the angel of the Lord, think of the angel of the covenant, the messenger of the covenant. That's who this is, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But as I read this and prepared this particular message, I thought of how many times where the Lord is pleased to meet the sinner in grace and mercy, there is from that point forward a testimony that clearly delineates the life pre-encounter and post-encounter. I think of a preacher that was talking with a woman one time after some meetings, and he asked her how long she had been a Christian. And she said, well, I've been a Christian all my life. And he told her, that's too long. There is a profession by many of being the Lord's, and yet when you ask them, what was your life before the Lord was pleased to reveal himself in you, and what was it like after, they look at you like a deer in a headlight. They'd have no comprehension and understanding. But I would encourage you and any to go and read through the scriptures and look at the testimonies of those that the Lord was pleased to encounter. He came to them. Just like we see here with the angel of the Lord coming to Manoah. And that there is a clear delineation. Experience is not salvation, but salvation is not without experience. There is that time when we were lost, and now we've been found. Was blind, but now I see. And if that's not your testimony, then you're still blind. You're still lost. Maybe you've come into religion. Maybe you've come into doctrine. Maybe you've come into a good fellowship. A lot of people, they like small fellowships. I can't tell you how many people, when they find out I'm a preacher and they want to know, is it a large church, a small church? And I tell them, what's a small church? Oh, that's the kind I like. And I tell them, well, before you come, their messages are out on the internet. Go have a listen. And if the Lord so directs you, come on. But we're just not trying to get people into a building in order to grow it and then build bigger and better barns. That's what the Lord said to that rich man. Thou fool, this night thy soul is demanded of thee. Now you think of Moses in the burning bush. There was a delineation. And it was clear in his mind. Before and after. There was Abraham and Isaac on the mount. A delineation. Before and after. There was Jacob wrestling with the Lord in Bethel. Before and after. There was Samuel with Eli in the tabernacle. When the Lord appeared unto him. And he kept going to Eli. And Eli said, next time you hear the Lord say, hear, Lord, for thy servant, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. There was a clear revelation to him. I think of Isaiah in the year that Uzziah died. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. I think of Zacchaeus. There'd be no question in his mind. If someone asked him, when did you encounter the Lord? He would say, I didn't. He encountered me. He came to me. And he said, Zacchaeus, come down. There's Saul on the road to Damascus. He wasn't seeking the Lord, but the Lord brought him low. And from that point forward, there was pre and there was post. And the same thing here with Manoah. After this encounter that we read about here with Manoah, it wasn't just about them having a child, but the Lord was pleased to reveal himself in them in a way that any of us that are the Lord's, we can identify with. I can read this and I can think when the Lord was pleased to cross my path and reveal himself in me. Clear as night and day. Lost and found. Ignorant and now revealed. So that's what I want us to see. We have this account. But as with any of us, initially, particularly with things pertaining to Christ, it's hidden. There are things mysterious here. They knew that something was different about this one. But yet it took the Lord revealing in them and to them what this was all about. So that's the first point I see here. There is that acceptable sacrifice that we see mentioned here, but initially it's hidden. Just like with me, I grew up reading the scriptures, hearing about Christ's death. And I could quote scripture about his death. I could tell you, yes, he's the Son of God. Yes, he came, laid down his life, and rose again, ascended on high, and is coming again. But still, the truth of that, the revelation of that was hidden as to how vital and significant the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is. I embraced true doctrine, even, about his death. I, for years, preached that when he died, it wasn't for everybody, but it was for a particular people. So as far as the doctrine, if you go back and listen, you think, well, you were rightly dividing the word of truth. But that is without knowing him who is the truth. And as the Lord was pleased to encounter me and reveal himself in me, suddenly now it wasn't about the doctrine. It was about the doctor. It was about the not the grace, but the giver of the grace. And that's what we see here. But initially, Manoah and his wife, these things were hidden. It was in kindness to this one that Manoah said in verse 15, "Let me get you something to eat." A simple gesture. And even at this point, did not perceive who this was. Even though it was a man who had come and miraculously spoken to him and revealed some things to him, yet it's not in the miracles that sinners are converted. It's in the revelation of Christ. And so it was necessary. I think of Christ there with the Samaritan woman. She said, "If thou knewest who it is that speaks with you, you would have asked of him and he would have given you eternal life, everlasting life, the water of life, living water." She can't ask because at that point she doesn't know. And that's what we see here with Manoah and his wife. He did not know that it was an angel of the Lord. And that was to be revealed later on. He did not know that this was actually the messenger of the covenant. And so even Christ, the scriptures say, when he came into the world knew him not. Isaiah, speaking of God in Isaiah 45:15, said, "Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself." Now, in the Old Testament, he was hidden in types and pictures, the law and the ceremonies. And it takes the Spirit of God to open our eyes to see that everything, even in this portion I'm reading for you and speaking on, has to do with Christ. Not just an interesting story, not just a miracle, a miraculous event that took place. When you stop and think about it, here we've got the angel of the Lord, who's Christ. We have the altar, we have the sacrifice, we have the flame. All of these things pertain to Christ. And ultimately, as it was revealed unto them, you can see their response in verse 20 at the end. "And fell on their faces to the ground." Suddenly now, this became a place of worship. And I would say the same thing for any that the Lord has taught of Christ. It's not just doctrine anymore. It's not place and time. It's who. "When it pleased God," Paul said, "to reveal Christ in me." That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so we see this clearly set forth here. And all of this with purpose. This angel, and again, angel is a translation of the original messenger. If you want to read it that way, this messenger of the Lord. This is a pre-incarnate visit of our Lord Jesus Christ to two of his own, that he would years later come and take on a body and pay their debt. But here it's a pre-incarnate manifestation. And Manoah, being kind and hospitable, offers to prepare a kid for him that he might eat. And you can understand that this was a kind gesture on his part. But you can see the messenger's response. "I will not eat of thy bread." You know, here's an example then of this being a spiritual being. Things spiritual don't require meat and drink. Even as we find, again, if you look over in John chapter 4 and verse 34, with regard to our Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't come into this world to be ministered unto, is what Matthew wrote, but to minister and to give his life a ransom. He didn't come to have people bring him somewhat to eat. And you see this in our Lord's encounter with a Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. When the disciples had gone off to get something to eat and they came back, you can see in verse 31, "In the meantime, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto him, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I see a parallel here in this messenger of the Lord that came. He came with a purpose. And to finish the work that he was sent to do. And not to eat. So a very strong refusal that we find there in verse 16. Now, it's not that the messenger here of the Lord was being inhospitable, but it was to point these two to himself, the Christ, and the sacrifice. Because you see there in verse 16, if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. Don't bring it to me. Offer it unto the Lord. Now you say, well, if he was Christ pre-incarnate, why is he saying offer it unto the Lord? Because this is still under the law. And therefore it had to be offered just exactly as the law required. It's like we saw in the message Sunday when the leper was healed. It was the Lord who healed him. He's the high priest, and yet he had not yet died. That man was still under the law. He said, go show yourself to the priest. The law had to be fulfilled in every jot and tittle, and particularly here. Follow the law. And so offered unto the Lord. And it says there, for Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. He was a messenger of the Lord. His eyes had not yet been opened. He saw a man. It's like those in Christ's day saw a man. You know, we know who you are. We know your father. We know your brothers and sisters. When he declared himself to be the Son of God, you know, they were blinded. They saw a man, but they didn't see who this man is. Like so many, they speak well of the Lord Jesus Christ, but their eyes have never been opened. Not to where we see the same response here of when their eyes were truly open and they saw who this is and what this is all about. They fell on their faces to the ground. They worshiped. That wouldn't have been possible if he were just a mere angel. You know, we don't worship angels. But they, in fact, Manoah said that in verse 22, we shall surely die. That was his initial response, because we have seen God. So, a very clear testimony as to who he was. You say, well, how could he make that testimony? Well, that's his eyes being opened. And that's why these things, dear friends, become vital. They're not things that we're just going to throw around and debate with people and see if we can win an argument. They're too precious. And we talk about Christ's person and his work and all that he accomplished. It's we don't throw these things like pearls before the swine. Let the potsherds fight with the potsherds of the earth is what the scripture says. Who art thou, O man, that you would even question God and debate these things? And again, it's a mystery. A mystery. That great is the mystery of godliness. We're reading a mystery here that this is the angel of the Lord, and yet Christ in a pre-incarnate state. But even greater a mystery is that God would manifest himself in the flesh. It makes this pale. This is like the candle compared to the light that came into this world. And you can see how he himself, when Manoah, out of curiosity, a lot of people get curious about things. He said, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? You know, here's where we bow to revelation. There are many things we don't know about God or Christ, and yet we bow to what's revealed. We don't go beyond what's revealed. We don't speculate. He's an infinite God. And the angel of the Lord, verse 18, said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? And if you look that word up in the original, it literally means wonderful. And that's a word also that can only be attributed to God. As Isaiah said of him, wonderful counselor, prince of peace. It's that word. Too wonderful for us. Too wonderful for our minds and hearts to even comprehend, but nonetheless true. And so the messenger here, again, takes Manoah's attention off of the mystery surrounding it. It's like people like to sit and let's talk a little bit more together about really what took place when Christ came in the flesh. And they try to come up with all kinds of aspects and just try to exhaust it. You can't. Just the name Jesus alone, if that was the only subject you had, you could preach a lifetime and never cover it. Such as the infiniteness of His name. And so we see that here. He was wonderful, just like in Isaiah 9:6. You know, the scriptures say that the secret things belong unto the Lord, but those that are revealed belong unto us and our children. And even John said, if when Christ came on the earth, the world couldn't contain the books. But these things are written, he said, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So when people try to engage you and get on to other side issues, let's kind of look beyond this. You hear people say that. Let's just look beyond this word here a minute. No, we don't want to look beyond the word. We want to look at the word. We want to see the word. We want to see Christ in the word. In Psalm 139, if you look there with me, the psalmist expressed things too wonderful for him. And I can identify this with this. Even now, when I contemplate this word that we hold in our hands, we can't exhaust it. It's all about Christ from beginning to end, whether we see it or not, but we can't exhaust it. It's too wonderful. Here in Psalm 139, and verse 6, he's contemplating who the Lord is. And beginning in verse 1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. And Manoah and his wife were only able to enter in the measure of the revelation that the Lord was pleased to give them. But the Lord knew them all along. The Lord knows those that are His. And verse 4 says, For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. When you sit down and try to figure out even your life, try to figure out this day. Why did this happen? Why did this go this way? Why did that take place? The one thing you can say is the Lord purposed it all. And He did it all. And therein we bow. Our mouths are stopped. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy right hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. So you can see there's nothing hidden with the Lord. It's hidden for us. We're the finite ones, but He is the infinite one. And so up to this point in Judges 13, we see that had the angel simply merely ascended back up or disappeared, they would have been left in the same ignorance that they were in before he appeared, other than just that you're going to have a child. But there was something more to this than that. And that's what we see in the second part of this message, and that is the acceptable sacrifice revealed. It's a revelation of the Lord, else we would not have any understanding. Who maketh thee to differ? It's not education. It's not catechism. I'm all for teaching children. I'm all for opening the scriptures and having them read it. But just because they learn the question, learn the answer, learn the question, learn the answer, and then they can give it back to you, that doesn't mean that Christ has been revealed in their heart. It takes the Spirit of God opening the heart, opening the eyes, moving it from what we read even here in this text in Judges 13, from where it says that he perceived not, in verse 16, that he was an angel of the Lord. He perceived not who he was. Down to that expression that we see here in verse 22, we'll surely die because we've seen God. There his eyes were open. This is not just a mere phenomenon that took place. We have seen God. And truly, any that have seen the Lord Jesus Christ have seen God. Their eyes have been opened to him as God. God in the flesh. But it takes the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you look there with me. This is not something that I can do. I can pray for each of us, and I do even before I preach, but I can't open eyes. I can't cause any to see. That's the Lord who must do it. And here in 1 Corinthians 2, we see Paul writing about this to the Corinthians in verse 10. Well, in verse 9 it says, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." You say, who loves him? Well, those that he loves. We love him because he first loved us. "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." That's what it takes. That's what made the difference for Manoah and his wife. It pleased God to reveal Christ in him and show him something of in type. This offering that he offered, this sacrifice, was a type of what this very one would come back in a body years later and would lay down that life. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. Here it speaks of the prophets of old in verse 10. This is not a stretch of the imagination, what I'm telling you here, that we're reading this and seeing Christ and the sacrifice, because here in verse 10 it says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify." So Manoah was made in this way a prophet because his words are recorded here for us in the scriptures, just like David was considered a prophet. Moses. It says, "When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." It's not just Christ, but it's Christ and him crucified. It's not just the messenger of the covenant that he's God. His name is Wonderful. You can know all that and still not be reconciled unto God. When he directed them to take that meal and offer it as an offering unto the Lord, he was directing them as needy sinners to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in type and picture. And that's what it says here, "When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ." It's all there in the Old Testament. And the lambs and the priests and the offerings, the sacrifices, the altar. But look at verse 12. "Unto whom it was" what? "Revealed." That's it. "It was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." All right, so that's what we see here. This must be revealed, just as Christ's death must be revealed. And it is. It's revealed to those that for whom he paid the debt. But coming back here to Judges 13, we see then how this messenger of the Lord directed them to offer their burnt offering unto the Lord. That's who must be satisfied. It's the Lord. And he is to be worshipped. And so Manoah, receiving this direction from this messenger of the Lord, even though he wasn't a priest, and yet under, I say, the priest's direction, there was a priest there. It was the Lord. He just had not yet come and fully manifest himself, but he was presiding all the while over this particular sacrifice. In verse 19, says that he offered it upon a rock to the Lord. Rock of ages. Cleft for me. We just sang that. Let me hide myself in thee. And so it is that we come to him. Now, it says there in verse 19 too that the angel did wondrously. Same word is what you have up there in verse 18, seeing it as secret. You say, what did he do wondrously? Well, when you read the context, he caused that meal offering that was offered be consumed with fire. Because in the very next verse, verse 20, it says, for it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven. So you don't have to read far to understand that what he did wondrously, it wasn't some hocus pocus magic trick like David Copperfield disappearing and coming back and wowing and woo-hooing. No, it had to do with the sacrifice. That here was the kid. That's what he prepared in verse 15. We shall have made ready a kid for thee and brought now as a meat offering. Verse 19, so Manoah took a kid with a meat offering. So all of this, if you go back and read in Leviticus chapter 1, was exactly what was to be offered for a burnt offering. But where was the fire to come from? See, this is the wondrous thing about what we see here. It's not man lighting the fire, but it's God causing the fire to consume this particular sacrifice. So the messenger did wondrously in that he caused that fire to consume the sacrifice. And then in verse 20, he ascended up towards heaven in the flame of the sacrifice. This is how I know that this was not a mere man or angel. Because that sacrifice has nothing to do with angels. It has everything to do with the messenger of the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he ascended up in the sacrifice and was gone. You can read other portions of Scripture of where it speaks of our Lord descending and then ascending on high. So even here is a prefiguring of his work that he would accomplish. He would come as a man. He would live and die, represented in the sacrifice, but then he would ascend on up to his Father. And the picture there of ascending is that the sacrifice was accepted. That's the lesson here, the acceptable sacrifice unto the Lord. It's acceptable not by those that offered it, but it's acceptable because of who it is that offered himself. This was in the Old Testament. It's a picture of the work that Christ should accomplish. But a couple of verses in John chapter 1 and verse 51. John 1 and verse 51. Everybody talks about Jacob's ladder. Sings about it. I remember as a kid, you know. We are climbing Jacob's ladder, ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder, ladder. We had no clue as to what we were singing. We're not climbing Jacob's ladder. But that's what we were taught. And all the mimes and everything that went along with it. You know, when I think back, I think it's only the Lord's mercy he didn't consume us there. Because here in John 1 and verse 51, our Lord made reference to when Jacob saw the angels ascending and descending there in Genesis 28 when he was at Bethel. There was his encounter. The Lord encountered him there. But our Lord referred to that in John 1:51, and he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God descending, ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That's who this has to do with, is the Son of Man. It's like here with Manoah and his wife. The Son of Man, it foretold and looked forward to it. But also you can see in John chapter 3 and verse 13. Here's what our Lord said. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. No man hath ascended up. So all of this that was taking place, the appearance of the messenger of the Lord, his revealing his name, that he's too wonderful. And then the sacrifice, and then the ascending up. Now, don't you see that it's like an artist painting a picture here? This is what our Lord was doing through history, giving a picture of the work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 6 and verse 62, we see it again. Our Lord was letting them know that he came to accomplish a work, and when the work was done, he was ascending back to his Father. And he would ascend because that work would be accepted, the acceptable sacrifice. Here in John 6, verse 60, the Lord said, Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? He's talking about the bread coming down from heaven. It's just like everything I'm talking about in Judges 13. This is hard. You know, who can hear it? Only those that their eyes are open. And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Does this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? But now here's the crux of it. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. I can't tell you how many commentators you can go and read on this particular portion of Scripture that I'm preaching from in Judges 13, and they'll not preach Christ to you. I read a few. I just took a glance and I thought, wow. Because it all had to do with Manoah and how he was obedient and how he offered. And it was all about Manoah. Now, it's all about Christ. The Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, Christ said, they are Spirit and they are life. And so, that's what we see vital here. Let's see if we can conclude this, coming back to Judges 13. Because, again, the revelation of Christ was the revelation of his sacrifice. This acceptable sacrifice that before had been hidden now was revealed. And as a result, they knew that it was more than just an angel or a mere man. In verse 21, then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. It's another way of just saying, then Manoah knew that this was the Lord, one sent from the Lord. And then verse 22, even more clearly, because we've seen God. Now there's two sorts of responses that I want us to see here in conclusion. One in verse 22 and one in verse 23. Manoah's reflection on this was great fear. And certainly, there's much in this to cause fear when you consider just how holy and just God is. Even though the news that he would be a parent, all of that was overshadowed by knowing himself to be a sinner. Because when he said, we shall surely die. And I'll tell you, when the Lord first opens your eyes, that's the sense you have. Mine eyes have seen the Lord. Woe is me, I am undone. You can read it in every one of these where the Lord said to Moses, take off the shoes off your feet. The ground on which you stand is holy. Even John the Beloved that laid his head on our Lord's breast in Revelation when Christ revealed himself to him there on the Isle of Patmos. He fell, as it were, dead at Christ's feet. There's that fear. And I know we usually translate fear in the sense of awe and reverence, but there is that fear. And it's all right. I worry where there's not. I hear a lot of cocky people just talking about, well, when death's door opens, I'll fly away. And they talk about more about people that they presume to be in heaven that they're going to look for, rather than Christ. There's no fear of God. Even now, as I stand before you and contemplate standing before a holy God, there's a fear to know that He's a consuming fire. You say, well, you've been preaching the gospel all these years. How come there's a fear? Well, it's knowing who God is. But in that fear, there is hope that the Lord gives. And that's what we see with Manoah's wife, her reflection in verse 23. His wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things. See, there's when we sing, my faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed, we say my faith, but it's that God-given faith. At first, when he opened your eyes, yes, there's that fear, but where's the hope? Where's the comfort? It's in the Redeemer. And there's two parts to what she said. Number one, he would not have accepted our sacrifice. In other words, it turned it to ashes. It would not have been consumed. As I look to Christ as a needy sinner, I know that I would never have eyes even to look for, to him if it weren't him causing me to look. And to see that in that sacrifice was a ransom. God found a ransom in the death of his son. So he would not have accepted our sacrifice. When I think about the death of Christ, how do I know that that death alone is all that is required of God? Well, God would not have accepted it. Had it not been sufficient? Had there been any part that man himself would have had to come and contribute and add to, then there would be no hope. But God accepted it. You read there in Romans 4:25, where it says he was delivered up for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Can you hear that word? Justification? Justified freely? It's all in that sacrifice. And that's what she was saying. He would not have accepted our sacrifice. Who's our sacrifice? It's Christ, our Passover. And that's why I can plainly say, if he died for me, that's all the matter settled. But you say, well, I still need assurance. How do I know he died for me? Well, look at the second part of her answer. Neither would he have showed us all these things. God doesn't play cat and mouse. If he's revealed unto you, the sinner, that sacrifice, and brought you to bow, he would not have done that had that sacrifice not been for you. You know, Christ said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Why did any come? It's because it was given them of the Father. How do I know Christ died for me? Well, the Lord's revealed something to this poor sinner. Caused me to look away from any works of the flesh. There's been a delineation made between what I was before and what I thought and what I pursued and what I hoped in to now, where my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. I don't even want to go there. But wholly lean on Jesus' name. He would not have shown us all these things, these wondrous things, opened our eyes, given us, as Peter said, exceedingly great and precious promises, were it not that it was for us. So I rest there. You know, when people say, well, What's your hope? You know, you're going to face a holy God just like anybody else. Yes, but you know what? My hope is in this one, the author and finisher of our faith. If it's not that, then there is no hope.